Amen. Before I get into my message this morning, I want to mention a couple of things to you. We began a group study of the book Flickering Lamps. Last Sunday was the kickoff, and so our life groups are meeting in the fellowship hall, and there's also a women's group that's meeting in the prayer room on Sundays at 11:15. And so a part of that is, and let me say this, if you need a book, you don't have one, let me know and we'll be sure to get you a copy. But a part of that as well is, so as we're going through replanting, there's a lot of things that are happening. Some of those things you can see some different renovations around the facility. And even this past week, we did some work here in the sanctuary. And it's just creating a little bit of a different feel and vibe in the facility. And honestly, one that I really love. And I want to say thanks to everybody that's worked so hard to make those become a reality. But it's not just work that we're doing on the outside or the work that we're doing with our hands and our labor. It's also a work that God is doing in our heart. And perhaps it's that work that is even more important than any other work in replanting. And so that's the purpose for the Flickering Lamp study. It's to give God a chance through His Holy Spirit to be working in our hearts. And so on the back table, and some of you have picked these up, and if you were a part of our Spiritual Renewal Weekend back in September, you'll recognize this. It's a sheet entitled Heart Searching for Prayer, Preparation and Personal Revival. And it gives, for each day of the week, Monday through Friday, prayers of confession and questions that you can ask yourself to do some heart searching. And so I want to encourage everybody to pick up a copy of this and utilize this during the week in your personal time with the Lord, in your prayer, maybe a time in the mornings or even in the evenings where you can spend just some dedicated time with the Lord and allow God through His Holy Spirit to be doing that work of heart in each one of us. That is just as vital to the life and the health and the future of any church, and especially ours, as it is any other kind of outreach work or any other sort of work that we can do. God has to be working in our hearts more and more and more. Do you believe that? I sure do, and I say amen as well. Let me invite you to take your Bibles this morning, open up to that old prophet Isaiah. And we'll be looking at chapter 55. And I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to verse 7. And if you don't have a Bible, you want to use one there in the pew rack in front of you. We've got hymnals that we use sometimes. And let me say a word of thanks to our AV guys in the back of the room who was able to get the computer back up and going. Good work back there. But if you don't have a Bible like this, you might want to open up with your smartphones or a device to the scriptures and follow along. Sometimes you want to let God's word just kind of fall on you. You want to close your eyes, not be distracted by anything, and just listen. And you don't want to be reading. You just want to be listening. And that's a good way to take in God's word. And sometimes, though, when we have our copy, whether it's an actual book or whether it's on our phones or whatever, it's a little bit more ownership of God's word. We're actually paying attention to it a little bit differently when it's ours, and we're owning it. And so I want to encourage us to do that today. Today, my message is entitled, Come Seek Me. This is God's invitation to us. He wants us to seek after Him. And in our lives, day by day, week after week, at different seasons of our lives, we've got certain things that are kind of out in front of us that we're chasing after, or we're working for, or we're seeking. Sometimes that's a relationship. Sometimes it's a degree in school. Sometimes it's a promotion at work or a project that you're trying to complete. Maybe it's a house that you're trying to flip or something like that. It's out in front of you and you've got it in front of you. But today I want to continue in this channel that we're in where we're thinking about what it means to seek after God. And so it's still that same movement toward God, seeking Him, being hungry for Him, or even thirsting for Him. We're going to sing a song today as we conclude our worship called As the Deer. It's an old worship song, but it really talks about that heart that is thirsty, like a deer that's looking for, you know, that's looking for a stream of water because it's about to die of thirst. And it's like it's driven. It's like that deer is driven to that stream and that water, even if it puts its own life at peril. And we're going to sing that song, As the Deer Pants for Water, So My Soul Longs After Thee. My soul, Lord, is thirsty for You. 2 weeks ago, the kind of seeking that we talked about was from Jeremiah. You remember that? Jeremiah chapter 29. And that kind of seeking that Jeremiah was talking about, is what he was encouraging, it's kind of like pounding out a pathway to God. Have you ever thought about seeking God that way? Something done with such fervency, with such frequency, that it's like a pathway has been pounded out between you and God. I've heard it said that on a campus, whether it's a college campus or even a high school campus, that instead of starting out by paving a lot of sidewalks from building to building or across an open field, let the students show up and just start walking across the campus. And the students will kind of pick out the path. They'll pick out the quickest path from point A to point B, and they'll walk that path. And so they say, don't pave the sidewalks until the students have worn out a pathway, and then you know where to put the sidewalks. Otherwise, you'll put a sidewalk over here, and all the students will go this way, even if a sidewalk is there. That's the idea that Jeremiah is coming at us with in terms of pounding out a pathway to God. It's that regular and frequent and fervent pounding out a pathway between where you are and where God is. And nothing will stop you. Nothing will get in your way. It is just a pathway that is there. And you're wearing it out, getting to God. Now, I'd say students aren't wearing it out to get to class. They're wearing it out because it's probably a shortcut. But that's not a bad way of thinking about getting to God. Find the quickest way, the shortest way that it takes you. Don't spend 40 years wandering through a wilderness to get to God. Don't go through an entire lifetime of being rebellious and stubborn and just backsliding as often as you get a chance, and allow that distance to come between you and God. No. Pursue God and find the shortest and quickest way that you can get to Him. That's what Jeremiah is calling us to in Jeremiah 29. If you want to check out that passage, you can look at Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. That's a beautiful passage. And Jeremiah is talking to the Israelites, that old ancient people of the Old Testament, just like Isaiah is talking to them. And see, the Israelites, that old ancient people, they were a stubborn people. God loved them. God chose them, but they were a stubborn people. They did not return to God the same love that God had for them. And so because of their choices, because of what they determined to do with their lives, guess what happened to them? They ended up being taken into exile, far away from their homeland, far away from things that were familiar to them, far away from safety and security to a foreign land. They were taken into exile. And so Jeremiah's words to this ancient people, this stubborn, obstinate people who were far from God and in exile, was, listen, God's got a good plan for you. That's Jeremiah 29. I've got a good plan for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans for a bright and hopeful future. But then it says, seek me. Seek me. And if you seek me with all your heart, guess what? I will be found by you. That's God's promise in Jeremiah. Well, today we're in Isaiah, and we learn about why wearing out a path to God by seeking Him is so rewarding, why it's worth putting that into practice. Now, I'm standing up here today sharing this message with you, and I want to tell you, I don't have it figured out about wearing out a pathway to God. In a lot of ways, like many of you, there are times and days that, man, my pathway takes me anywhere but near God for different reasons. And I've got to try to find my way back to God just like many of you do. And I need to be learning, just like many of you do, about how to carve out that pathway to God. And so when I share with you today, I want you to know I'm not sharing with you as somebody that's already there. I'm sharing with you as somebody that is just like you on that journey. I'm a pilgrim just like you are, trying to make my way to God, to seek after Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, day by day, to remember and to know why it is so rewarding to come to God and to seek Him with all that we have. The old devil will come along and say, listen, child, it's not worth it. God's not going to do anything for you. God doesn't have anything to give you. He doesn't have anything special for you. God doesn't care about you. That old devil will come along and tell you, you're not worth anything. There's no reward in coming to God and walking with Him and seeking after Him. Don't waste your time. You got better things to do. You got other things that you want to do. And so go and do those things. God can wait. But see, Isaiah says, no, don't wait, because there's great reward in seeking after God. So turning our attention to the actual passage in Isaiah, let me read it and you follow along, and may God speak to our hearts today from His word. Come, all of you who are thirsty. Now let me pause right here and say, now remember who this is being written to. This is a word from God to His people who are in exile. It's a word of hope and promise. And it's an invitation. God is inviting people. Hey, I want you to come and seek me. Some of you got invitations this week to join others for a meal for Thanksgiving. Some people get an invitation to hang out with a friend or to do something that's fun. That invitation that calls out to you, for you, and it makes you feel wanted. It makes you feel like that you matter to that person that's given you that invitation. I want to tell you today, God is inviting you to come to Him and to seek after Him because you are important to Him, and He wants you to seek after Him. I'd add this, He wants you. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, don't worry about it. Come and buy and eat. Come and don't just buy food, but listen. Come and buy some wine and come and buy some milk. Even if you don't have money, come on and buy it. Even though you don't have anything to buy it with, I've got it to give you. And I'll give it to you, God says. Come, buy milk and wine without money and without cost. Verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread? And why labor on what does not satisfy? God is speaking to a people here who have spent themselves on things that do not satisfy. They have given themselves to things that will have depleted them and emptied them. And God is telling them, listen, come to me. Come, seek me. Come to me and buy the things that you need that I have to give to you. Listen to me, God says, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Verse 3, give ear and come to me, God says. Listen to me that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to that King David, that one that was the man after God's own heart, the man after my own heart, God says, the everlasting covenant that I made with him, I will extend it to you. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Verse 5, surely you will summon nations you don't know, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of me, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. And surely those nations that are running to God is because they've seen how good God is to his people. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have what? Mercy on them. And to our God, and you could even think that it should say this, and to our God be all praise. Why? For he will freely pardon. And who is he pardoning? Not all the perfect people. Not all the righteous people. They've got it figured out. They're all holier than everybody else anyway, I suppose. Who does God freely pardon? The wicked. The unrighteous. The deplorables, the untouchables. I feel like that's talking about me, maybe. That is who God freely pardons. You don't have to earn God's love and his grace, his forgiveness. You don't have to earn his compassion and his kindness. You can come to him as you are. It's not hard to come to Christ. You don't have to change to come to Jesus. It's just this. When you come to Jesus with all that you are, you change. He makes a change in you. And that's what God is wanting to do. The first thing that I want to point out today is that the Lord is speaking here to a thirsty and a hungry people. He's not just preaching to people that are laissez-faire, I don't care, apathetic, don't really want to hear what's going on. No, he's speaking to a hungry and thirsty people. We sang this in one of our songs. There was a sense of desperation about this people. This is a people who have been exiled, a people who had turned from God. Their choices, their decisions, the course that they had determined all led them away from God. They were his people, and he had chosen them, and they chose something other than the Lord. And it landed them in exile, distanced from the Lord. And the Lord responded. Listen to how the Lord responded. To year after year and generation after generation of people, of his people turning away from him. Turning to other pursuits, turning to other gods, turning to other affections. And here's what God says in chapter 54, verse 7. For a brief moment, I've abandoned you. You want to go your own way, do your own thing? Fine. For a brief moment, I abandoned you. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. God's people chose their own way, determined their own path, and it led them into exile and put distance between them and God. And God said, okay, your will be done. Okay. And it led them far away. So when we hear Isaiah speak about being hungry and thirsty in chapter 55, we must know the journey of those who we are hearing about. And who are hearing this message. They had forsaken the Lord, and their exile was their reward. And so they are a hungry and thirsty people. Now in exile, they are hungry for the Lord, desperate for the Lord, thirsty for the Lord, because what they had chosen had left them exiled. But there's a reward for returning to the Lord. Don't you know that? There is reward for turning to the Lord and coming back to him. Chapter 54, verses 7 and 8. In those two verses, yes, there's how God responded to the sin and the disobedience and the distance, but there's also what God did toward his people. Verse 7 says, God says this, but with deep compassion, I'm going to bring you back. With deep compassion. And verse 8, with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, my people. This is what I say. The Lord, your Redeemer. This people had not so much a physical hunger and thirst, but the Lord is speaking to his people about the hunger and thirst of their soul. Their hunger and thirst for him and for his deep compassion and for his everlasting kindness. Because don't you think that they had lost that? Don't you think they had figured that God had no compassion for them and God had no more kindness for them? They were in exile now, and all hope was lost. And their souls were thirsty and hungry to know that maybe God had some compassion left for them, that maybe God had some kindness to extend to this people, this stubborn, obstinate people, distanced from him, exiled. And God says, listen, I'm going to bring you back out of my great compassion. And I have eternal kindness. Kindness that doesn't end toward you. That's what a hungry and thirsty people really need to hear. That's the reward of hungering and thirsting and seeking after God. You become aware and you experience and encounter this deep compassion that has no end, this deep kindness toward you and toward me. It's like a bottomless ocean. It doesn't end. And when our hearts and our souls are thirsty and hungry, we need to know that there is something worth seeking God for, and God lays it right out there in Isaiah for us to know. Seek me, God says. It's worth it. Can you name the things in your life this morning that bring about hunger and thirst in your soul? Maybe there are things in our lives that cause us to be emptied and depleted and, as it were, exiled and distant from God, like he's 1,000 miles away. Maybe there are the pursuits in your life, things that you're chasing after. And these pursuits, they occupy your worry. You're consumed and wrapped up with worry. You're bound by it. It's like a God that you worship. You don't even know how to function without worry. It's almost a pursuit of your life, a thing that you're chasing after in a way. You're occupied by worry. Maybe you're worried about your finances, and it just consumes you day after day after day. And it occupies you, and it consumes you. Maybe it's your precious time that, frankly, if you are honest, you're wasting it. You're wasting your time. You're spending your time on frivolous things. You waste your time sitting in front of a computer screen. You waste your time bickering back and forth on social media. You waste your time on a computer game, a video game. You waste your time on frivolous things that leave you empty and depleted and confused and angry and frustrated. And God says, you're chasing after these things, and why aren't you hungry and thirsty for me? Because I'll fill you with the things that will sustain you. Kindness and compassion. A future and a hope, Jeremiah says. And yet we're consumed by pursuing things that just waste our precious time. And we don't have any time to seek after God. Because it's wasted on lesser pursuits. Maybe there are other gods, little g gods, that you bow to. Behaviors, ways of thinking, triggers that pull you down into despair, and you find yourself bowing again. God help us. Relinquishing yourself, your strength, your money, relinquishing your soul to something other than the Lord. Relinquishing yourself to an attitude that dishonors God, to an approach to people that hurts them and harms them and trips them up and pushes them down. And you're relinquishing yourself to that time and again. and you realize that these choices of yours, and maybe even it's not a choice, but it's a circumstance that you just have absolutely no control over, that these have left you empty, frustrated, disappointed. There's a million miles between you and God. You might as well be in exile. We don't really worry about exile, do we? Nobody's going to come into your house or into mine and chain us up and take us off someplace. Maybe in other parts of the world they worry about that. But when you're left empty and frustrated and disappointed and distanced from God, it is like an exile. And that distance leaves you and me hungry and thirsty. And when you get there to that place, or if you are already there, you say, "Pastor, I'm there." You're naming the place that I spend most of my time. I want you to know it's your soul that is hungry and thirsty. And it's only the Lord who can satisfy your soul. The hunger and thirst of your soul can only be quenched by God. I want to leave us with verse 6 and 7 of Isaiah 55. It's that encouragement to us, that exhortation to us, that maybe today, when we wrap things up and dismiss and bring a close to this time, that there will be down in our souls a new motivation and push to seek after God today, this week, this season. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him. He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let us turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on us. And to our God be all of our praise and thanks and adoration and devotion, for he freely pardons us. The Lord is inviting you and me to come to him today and to seek him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, to come to him and to seek him. And he will satisfy you and me. Do you believe it? Amen. Lord, today we want to thank you for this time, this hour together, to worship you, to pray and to lift up our hearts to you and to open our ears and our hearts, our souls, Lord, to your word. Later on in this chapter, it says that your word will accomplish what it sets out, what you desire for it to accomplish. And so, Lord, may your word do just that in us today. Continue to work in our hearts. Continue to lead us and guide us, Lord. May we make a pathway to you that just gets us to you, Lord, quicker each time. Lord, may we not grow distant. May we not be exiled from you by our sorry choices that just seem to lead us astray. Lord, may we seek after you. You tell us this day, Lord, that if we seek after you, we will find you. May it be so, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, "As the Deer." As the deer panteth after.